Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
We are going to talk in a couple of minutes here to the author, one of the authors of All You Need Is Love, The Beatles in Their Own Words. It's a fascinating book, and it's a fascinating story about Stephen Gaines, who 50 years ago, he was a Sunday News rock and roll newspaper columnist in New York, and he lined up to ask John Lennon a question during a press event for the musical Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band on the road, and Stephen Gaines just blurted out a question. Hi, John, does seeing Sgt. Pepper being made into an off-Broadway show make you feel old? And John gave one of his classic acerbic responses. He said, I don't need that to make me feel old, mate. Next. And Gaines was kind of humbled by that, and he sort of wandered off. And Peter Brown, who was a Beatles manager at Apple and an insider with the band for many years, he was producing that show, that Sgt. Pepper Broadway off-Broadway show, and he noticed the dejection on the face of Stephen Gaines, and he invited him to chat in a lounge, and they became lifelong friends. And then later, using Peter Brown's connections, Peter Brown and Stephen Gaines spent much of 1980 recording exclusive interviews with Paul McCartney, Ringo, Yoko, and other Beatles insiders like Neil Aspinall. And the transcripts became the basis for their 1983 bestseller, The Love You Make, an insider story of the Beatles. And the follow-up to that, All You Need Is Love, is the book we'll talk to Stephen Gaines about. All You Need Is Love is the new book, The Beatles in Their Own Words, unpublished, unvarnished, and told by the Beatles and their inner circle. Best-selling author Stephen Gaines joins us now. Stephen, good to have you with us. You did these interviews for a book called The Love You Make quite a few years ago. Why were the interviews in the new book left out of The Love You Make?
Well, hi, Bob. Good morning to you. They weren't left out. They were pieces of them were used in the old book, in The Love You Make, which, by the way, we just found out is the largest selling book ever about the Beatles. It sold over 500,000 copies. You would never know from my royalty checks. But so we did use, in fact, pieces of these interviews. But 40 years went by. Here's the interesting thing. We interviewed everybody except for John Lennon in late fall of 1980. So the interviews were done like September, October, November. And then John was murdered on December 8th. So we realized that we had all of these interviews, over 100 of them, just a few weeks before John was killed. And so people said things about John, about the whole situation, about the Beatles breaking up, that they never would have said otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so we thought that if we published the entire interviews of all the people, their wives, their girlfriends, we had Paul, Ringo, and George Harrison, their wives and their girlfriends, that it would give a really bigger picture. And then the one thing that everybody wanted to know was, did Yoko break up the Beatles? And I think we kind of give the definitive answer in this new book, All You Need Is Love.
Yeah, I mean, during what became the Let It Be movie, during those sessions at that time, wasn't it Paul's plan to keep the Beatles intact while they all could do solo projects from time to time, like other bands were doing, and then they would just come back to the group, do both?
That's really what Paul wanted. By the way, Paul was terrific. You know, when I got to meet all these guys and talk to them, Paul was really great and really sensible, and he didn't want the Beatles to break up. He wanted them to still be an entity so the rest of them could go their own ways and do things. But the hard feelings, that was a wonderful movie, by the way, that you mentioned, that documentary, but the hard feelings between them were getting worse and growing, and John and Yoko were being real pains in the ass. And I think that Yoko really kind of led that charge. She was a very, very difficult person. And I don't know why John went along with her. They say he was in love with her, but more than love, I think she was a comrade at arms.
Hmm.
And I think that comes through because we interview Yoko. You should hear the stuff that Yoko has to say in this book about the Beatles. And she lies a lot, I think, Yoko. But she did admit that she was the one who turned John on to heroin. Mm-hmm. That was one of the big problems that the Beatles had, was John's increased drug use.
It's interesting. In the book, it's clear that, and you point out, that everybody wanted John's approval in the band, right? They really looked at him as a leader. It was John's group in the beginning, wasn't it?
Yep, it was John's group. He was the leader. There's a reason why it's called John, Paul, George, Ringo, because that was the order of the importance and who it was. It was John started it, and they all looked at him. But, you know, even if he didn't start it, they all wanted John's approbation. They all cared about what John thought. Paul went on at great lengths about what pain, this is in the new book, about what pain he was in, not hearing from John, trying to contact him. George Harrison said, I wonder if John likes my new book, I Mean Mine. I wonder what he's thinking. Mm. Everybody had, you know, what is John going to say? But he wouldn't speak to any of them. Mm. There was a cruel streak in John. I love John. He was a genius, and he's a hero for everything that he brought. Feminism, the anti-war movement, a lot of things. He was a pathfinder, and there was nobody like him. But he also had, you know, a really kind of spiteful streak in him.
Yeah, you're right about John, and we get from the words of many in the book that there were no secrets in John's life, whereas Paul kind of lived in a bubble and wanted everybody to love him, didn't he?
He did, and he perfected that. And he actually, I mean, you know, it's business is business, but the time I spent with Paul, I just really was crazy about him. And I think his value system and his maturity, and I just think he was a genius. And, you know, he invited me and Peter Brown, who was my co-author in the book, to his house for the weekend in the country. And so I was able to see how he and Linda lived and how they treated their children and what their life was about. By the way, the house was the messiest house they'd ever seen, just as a footnote there. And because they were vegetarians at the time, we had something that was like gruel for lunch. It was quite a thing. But he was a kind, smart man, and is, in fact, he still lives only a mile or two from me here in the on Long Island, and I get to see him occasionally, although he's not speaking to me because he didn't like that we published these interviews.
He didn't. Too much was revealed. Was that the problem?
Yeah, you know, he comes off so nice and so well, but I just think it's just a painful thing to all of them. And what everybody says is, did Yoko break up the Beatles? Well, not really, but she was part of the chemistry that helped him to break them up. And I think that's an important thing that people find. The Beatles were going to break up anyway, whether it was Yoko, whether they broke up at exactly that time. These were four guys who had grown up and who needed to go their own way and couldn't be controlled any longer. And once Brian Epstein died and overdosed, he was their manager, they were kind of out of control among themselves. And so, no, Yoko was partly responsible for breaking up the Beatles, as you will see if you read this book, but she wasn't the main cause. Linda Eastman was pretty tough herself, you know, by the way. Mm-hmm. She didn't put herself in the forefront, but Paul says in the interviews, you know, that Linda, she's a smart girl. So
You mentioned Brian Epstein. I'm always fascinated by Brian. Finally, there are movie projects in the works, one a documentary and another film about Brian where an actor will play him. You have a transcript of a 1966 recording of Brian in the book. Was it a suicide or not?
No, I mean, he did try before, but the time, he was miserable. He was unhappy. when you're gay at in those days, it was a horrible, horrible thing. You couldn't tell anybody. There was tremendous shame. Mm-hmm. It was against the law in Great Britain. They could actually lock you up, and did lock up people for homosexuality. So he wasn't particularly happy about it. But the time that he died, I'm positive it was an accident, because he didn't leave a note. He left a note the other times. It was just the circumstances of it, is that the drugs built up in his body and built up in his body, and he didn't take a deliberate overdose, but by the time he took that regular overdose, he just never woke up. It's a great tragedy, an interesting guy, a lovely man, too.
Such an interesting book, All You Need Is Love, The Beatles in Their Own Words, Stephen Gaines, also Peter Brown. Is the original book, The Love You Make, still available, Stephen?
Oh, my God, yes, it sure is. It's still selling, The Love You Make.
I have to, you know what, that's somehow missing in my Beatles collection. I'm going to take care of that, though. Congratulations on the book. It's a tremendous read, and for any Beatle maniacs, it's a must-have. Thanks for the time this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on.
All You Need Is Love.